29, 2 Chronicles chapter 29. And if you could make sure people who are coming in later would get one of those. 2 Chronicles chapter 29. This entire chapter is just so interesting. We will not be dealing with every verse, but some of the main lessons from 2 Chronicles chapter 29. And we'll be looking at a couple of verses from there in 2 Chronicles chapter 29. 2 Chronicles chapter 29. And if you would turn there in your Bible, let's begin with the third verse. We'll read verses 3 through 5, verses 11, 15, and then verses 30 through 36. 2 Chronicles chapter 29, verses 3 through 5, verse 11, 15, and then verses 30 through 36. And that would kind of give us a gist of what the entire chapter is about. 2 Chronicles chapter 29, I'm going to begin in verse number 3. In the first year of his reign, in the first month, he opened the doors of the house of the Lord and repaired them. Then he brought in the priests and the Levites and gathered them in the east square and said to them, "Hear me, Levites, now sanctify yourselves. Sanctify the house of the Lord God of your fathers and carry out the rubbish from the holy place." Verse number 11. "My sons, do not be negligent now. Do not be negligent now, for the Lord has chosen you to stand before him, to serve him, and that you should minister to him and burn incense." Verse number 15. "And they gathered their brethren, sanctified themselves, and went according to the commandment of the king, at the words of the Lord, to cleanse the house of the Lord." Verse number 30. "Moreover, King Hezekiah and the leaders commanded the Levites to sing praise to the Lord with the words of David and of Asaph the seer. So they sang praises with gladness and they bowed their heads and worshiped." I can just throw that in. If you would back up to verse number 25. Between verse 25 and 30, it's an interesting passage of scripture. You know, there are some churches that don't believe you should have instruments in worship. There's a whole denomination that says you shouldn't have instruments in worship. Another denomination that believes you shouldn't celebrate birthdays. Because the only birthday mentioned in the Bible, I think, was King Herod or something. They take an isolated incident. But here is a passage, if you go to verse number 25, where they were stationed, they were to play with cymbals, they were to play with string instruments, they were to play with harps. And notice the word, "and according to the commandment of David." In the Old Testament sanctuary, there was not music involved. There were bells on the end of the priest's garments. There were some horns blown at a certain time, but no music was involved. Go back and look at it. There was not music that called them together. But David came along. And it says, David made a command to add in the music. Then you had Gad, the king's seer. You had Nathan, the prophet. So there's a prophetic element to music. And it was the commandment of the Lord by his prophet. So God then introduced music into the church. Even though you have some denominations saying you shouldn't have any instrumental music, you find David, you find Gad, you find the prophets. And then the Levites, in verse number 26, they stood up with instruments, and the priests had the trumpets. If you tried to do a division between the two, the priests would be like the ministers, the Levites would be like assistant ministers or those helping to make the service go. So they had some priests that were musicians, they had assistants whose assignment was totally music that was happening here. And then Hezekiah commanded them with the songs and stuff. And they came together, 28, you had the singers singing, you had the trumpeters sounding. And all of this continued until the burnt offering was finished in verse number 28. Now let's go down to verse number 30 again. So Hezekiah He was talking to them in verse number 30. He commanded the Levites to sing praise to the Lord with the words of David and of Asaph the seer. So they sang praises with gladness, and they bowed their heads in worship, right? Then Hezekiah answered and said, "Now that you have consecrated yourselves to the Lord, I want you to come near and bring sacrifices and thank offerings into the house of the Lord." So the assembly brought in sacrifices and thank offerings, and as many as were of a willing heart brought in what kind of offering? A burnt offering. Now, burnt offering was something you did not participate in. It was totally burned up. There were some offerings you brought, and I would bring, let's say I brought a cow in as an offering. The priest would get a part of the cow. I would get a part of the cow, and we would burn up a part of the cow. The burnt offering, I would get nothing from it. I would simply consume it in the presence of God. Watch what happens. 32, and the number of burnt offerings which the assembly brought was 70 bulls, 100 lambs, 100 rams rather, 200 lambs, all were a burnt offering to the Lord. The consecrated things was 600 bulls and 3,000 sheep, 34, but the priests were too few so that they could not skin all the burnt offerings. Therefore their brethren, the Levites, helped them until the work was ended and until the other priests had sanctified themselves, for the Levites were what, everybody? They were more diligent in sanctifying themselves. They had the proper heart to go about doing the work that God had called them to do. Verse number 35. Also the burnt offerings were in abundance with the fat of the peace offerings, with the drink offering. So the service of the house of the Lord was set in order. It was what, everyone? Now watch number 36. Then Hezekiah and all the people rejoiced that God had done what? Prepared the people, since the events took place so suddenly. Now, I don't know about you, but I read this over and over and over and over and over and over and over again, trying to find when did God prepare the people. Because watch this, at the end of all of this, everybody's celebrating. And why are you happy? God prepared the people. How do you know? It happened suddenly. And so now I'm looking back to see, when did God do that? Let me back up, and that's not my topic. I'm going to get into that. But let me back up and ask, do you know why you are in the house of God today? Think about it. Do you know what you are doing here today? Do you know what's taking place in this house today? Are you aware that there's something going on now that has been worked on before getting here? That this is the final demonstration of something that started a long time ago. Are you aware that you are literally in a place that God has set up, that he prepared to cause you to be here? Do you have an idea that God had to be working to get you here? Do you have the sense of his flow, his pulling to get you here? If you are here and you're not aware of your surroundings, you will literally miss what God is doing. It to you will sound like simply a lecture, and you will miss what God is saying to your heart. Now that's not my subject. I just want you to be aware of what's going on. It's like we have come together. Here's what I want to talk about. Inside my heart, somebody say inside his heart, there is an overwhelming desire to see the work of God completed in your life. I love you like that. I want the work of God completed in your life. And that's the inspiration driving my words and driving my action. When you show up in front of me, I want to see you completed in God. I want you so blessed in a way so magnificently. Lee? I want you blessed. Yeah, I'm working on my grammar while I'm writing here. So I want you so blessed that you become a holy disturbance in the community. Now, that's how radical. Wait a minute. Don't go there. Don't do me like that. What the other thing I want to say that's not in my notes. we have learned to act in church so we know when the amen is appropriate, even if I don't believe it. So you don't have to amen. I want you to absorb what I'm saying. I want you so blessed that you driving down the street or walking into the job, the anointing on you so great that even your boss, your manager, your supervisors will begin to view you as Daniel, that you don't even have to know what to say, but God will jump in your mouth once you open it up, and just what they need 20 years down the road will flow out of your mouth. Radical, radical, radical. Matter of fact, do you know the only thing that cannot be controlled today is spirituality? Everything else can be controlled. That's the only thing our government can't control is spirituality. A praying man can cause a plane to crash. Y'all not with me. Anyway, my press and my yearning is not mainly on thousands of members, even though I know that is going to happen. My yearning, listen, is to lead mature, developed, experienced believers who know how to get what they need from God. That's what's driving me. And I know that if you ever become mature in your walk with God, your mature will grow as you know him. Now, did anybody feel the twist or the burn in that statement? Because if I'm saying as you become mature, I am also on the other side saying what? Amen. This one thing, as much as I desire to see you grow, as much as my wife desires to see you grow and live powerfully, we know that we have no power to make it happen unless the Lord is involved in your life. We have absolutely no power to do it. Except God build a house, we labor in vain. Are you all still with me? And I know God is here. I believe his healing for your body. I believe it. I believe it. I believe it in Jesus' name. So I want you to understand the assignment God has given and what God is saying he wants us to deal with. Here's the problem. The problem is I teach more than you keep. How do you know it, Pastor? I know it. You get used to my preaching. And you get used to what I'm saying. And you're looking for something else. And I will go to a place that's dry and give them what you throw away. And they will get blessed. Life will change forever with what you throw away. Much of what is said from the pulpit, this pulpit goes in one ear and literally comes out the other ear for some of you. Others of you, it never gets in the one ear. Because you already turned off before you come to church. And how come you can't maintain while you're in church? It's coming up here. The reason why you can't handle what's going on in church is because you have not been prepared before church. There's a lot being taught that's not being caught. There's a lot of teaching that you are not receiving. If you are listening to this message and experiencing the fellowship, but you're not aware what's going on, you will miss your blessing and will not receive inside information that will prepare you for your future. I was reading this guy. I got to share this information. Oh, last week, you remember I told you about the book I want you to check out? You remember? What's the name of the book? You remember the author? Al Gore, the author, The Assault of Reason. The Assault on Reason or The Assault of Reason. Get the book. I'm not pushing the political agenda. I'm pushing the study as to what happens in your brain. Do you ever get the sense that your life is being bombarded by a whole lot of stuff? That's by design. Psychologically, the design is already in place. And if you ever turn on the TV, it's designed to keep you focused, to grab your attention, and to never let you go. So there's certain things they do. You need to know what's going on, all right, that makes you a consumer. Where you need to know why you feel better when you're shopping. The same people who know how to make you feel better while you're shopping can make you feel better while you're not shopping, but they don't make any money off of that. You need to know why the news starts with a murder. And then they will make you watch all the way through. And they'll put beautiful people up there on the news talking about stuff and reading to keep you attached to what they're saying. It doesn't matter what the information is. Making you into a consumer. But anyway, you need to know that. You will miss the inside information. Your personal preparation must precede your personal production. Your personal preparation must precede your what? You must be prepared to receive what God wants to give you to make you successful. If you're not prepared, stay with me, Jamila. If you're not prepared to receive it, then what you get, you will throw away because you don't know what it is. Stay with me. Listen to this. Imagine a young man named Daniel, 2007, young man, 16 years old. He just received, listen, some people will understand where I just went. He just received an MP18. You know about an MP3, MP4. He just received an MP18, an experimental model, 10 years ahead of production. It was a mistake at the factory. No one had the MP18. It was not even on the market. It was tied up in research and development. It was not supposed to be released until 2014. But somehow, one of the test models got out. It was so advanced. This model was so advanced that you didn't have to connect to download anything since everything was wireless. It simply selected the atmosphere you desired based on your pulse, personality, and economic profile. It was so advanced that if you went into a music store, it noted what you looked at and automatically selected for you wirelessly based upon your eye movement and emotional attachment to the kind of music you were looking at. Daniel now was visiting the electronics store. He had $100 from his 16-year birthday party, and he had just turned 16. He was planning to buy an MP3. Are you listening to me? He paid at the counter, went over to pick up his box, got home, and there was this chrome thing like a keychain that was in the box. No instructions, no regular on or off buttons. Because as you looked at it, it picked up what was happening to you from your mind and would turn either on or off. He didn't know what to do. He went back to the store, complained about what he had, and they were glad to get it back because the MP18 would cost over $2,000 and only a certain type of person would be able to have one of those. They gladly took back the MP18 and gave Daniel an MP3. And guess what? He was happy because he now had an MP3 until someone told the dummy what had happened. Daniel lost out on the MP18 because he was not prepared to receive it. He got it, but because he was not prepared to receive it, he couldn't work it and did not want to keep it. So if you're not prepared, then you cannot receive. Your preparation precedes your receiving. Preparation must precede. I can instruct you about the blessings of Abraham, and we can shout over the blessings of Abraham. The blessings of Abraham are mine. I can teach you about the double portion blessing. But my teaching and my instructions are motivating you to prepare to receive. God is about to upgrade this house. You are set for an MP3. God is ready to give out MP18s early. You will not be happy with an awesome blessing like Daniel. You will cry to give it back because you're not prepared to be so blessed. There's a difference between instruction and preparation. Are you with me? If you've been given instructions, you are not necessarily prepared to walk in that instruction. Have you ever watched Shaquille O'Neal play basketball? Huh? Have you ever seen him play on a basketball court? Big Shaq, right? He can play as well as he plays. Listen, because he had both what? Instruction and Preparation. What is the instructional part? Somebody had to teach Shaquille O'Neal how to dribble, right? That was the instructional part. The preparation part is the practice playing ball, the drills, the repetition, the discipline, the jump shots, the passing of the ball, the blocking, the closing of the lane. Do you know he has to rehearse sometimes 40 hours a week for a one-hour game? And we will receive a one-hour message and want to get 40 hours of blessings. You are not prepared to receive. Did you get that? You can come to church, hear sermon after sermon, teaching after teaching, instruction after instruction. But if you never start practicing what you are hearing, if you never drill yourself on the answer, if you never discipline yourself, listen. If you never allow somebody to repeat the message to you over and over again until you get it right, then you will never receive at the level God wants to give it to you. Oh, they're repeating it. I heard that before. Oh, really? Faith comes by hearing, which means hearing and hearing again until you get it down in your spirit. But no, you don't drill over and over. You don't go over it. Without thinking about what you got in front of you now, how many of you have been taking notes since January of the messages that have been preached from this pulpit? How many of you have even written down the prophetic words? How many of you have rehearsed what God has said for you? How many of you have repeated the scriptures that you have been giving? Have you been preparing yourself based on the instruction? If the answer is no, then you will not manifest the promises of God. Are you hearing me today? We're not coming together just to see each other. As nice as that is, amen? Amen. Good to see you. How are you? But we're preparing to grow in God, amen? In his book, Mark Hanby, and I'm almost finished, in his book, The Order of a Son, he says, listen, the distance between a promise from God and the manifestation of that promise is marked by preparation. Make sure the air is on, amen. The distance between a what? Amen. The distance between a promise from God and the manifestation of that promise is marked by your what? Preparation. Let's try it again. Amen. We better repeat right now. Amen. The distance between what? A promise from God and the what? Manifestation of that promise is marked by your... Listen, the Lord has given you a promise for your life, but those promises don't work unless you prepare yourself to do what? Receive them. The reason, get this, many Christians never see the manifestation is usually because they have not prepared themselves to bring it to pass. Are you listening? Unless you're prepared to receive, you would not be able to receive much of what God wants to give you. You hear preachers say it all the time. You can go to hell broke, you can go to heaven broke. Amen. Both of those are available. And have you wondered how come God doesn't change and come down and make the difference in the lives of people? He does. He gives out instruction. And those who receive the instruction prepare themselves for something different. Are you following? Let me give you an example. Let me give you an example if you're prepared. John chapter 12, and we'll go back to our scripture. I'm almost finished. I told them earlier we had a very brief message today. John chapter 12. Turn there with me in your Bible and look at verses number 26 through 30. St. John chapter 12, and look at verses number 26 through 30. St. John chapter 12. Do you have it? St. John chapter 12. Okay, Jesus is talking here, and I'm starting at verse number 26 so you can get some of the context of Jesus talking. Verse number 26 of St. John 12. Watch what happens. Jesus said, if any man serves me, Let him follow me, and where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor. 27. Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose I came, to this hour. 28. Father, glorify your name. Watch this. Then a voice came from heaven saying what? I have both glorified it and will glorify it again, right? 29, watch what happened. Therefore, the people who stood by, they heard it, and they said it thundered. Others said what? An angel spoke. But Jesus answered and said, no, this voice did not come because of me, but for your sakes. God the Father answered the prayer from Jesus. Watch. The people who were not prepared to hear the voice of God, oh, it thundered. It was an angel. Jesus, no, my Father answered me. Because Jesus was clearly prepared to receive from the Father. So you could be in church today and hearing a lot of noise or something that makes you just feel like sleepy. And somebody else could be getting blessed and say, wow, that was the thing I really needed. In my life will never be the same again. Go back to our scripture, 2 Chronicles chapter 29. Let's finish here, 2 Chronicles chapter 29. And we're going to look again at verses 3 through 5. 2 Chronicles chapter 29 and verses 3 through 5. 2 Chronicles chapter 29 and verses 3 through 5. I need to find it, right? Okay, here we go. It says here in verse number 3, in the first year of his reign, in the first month, he opened the doors of the house of the Lord, repaired them. Then he brought in the priests and Levites and gathered them in the east square and said unto them, hear me, Levites, what do you need to do? You need to sanctify yourselves. You need to sanctify the house of the Lord God, your fathers. Carry out the rubbish from this place, right? Number one, you have to desire order and want order. So Hezekiah gave the word in verses 3 through 5. He tells them, you need to sanctify yourselves. You need to sanctify the house of the Lord. You need to carry out the rubbish from the house of the Lord, right? And look at verse number 11. He's talking to them in verse number 11. He says, my sons. He says what? So he's talking to them, and those who receive him as a father would respond to him as sons. He says, my sons, this is what I want you to do. Don't be negligent now, for the Lord has chosen you to stand before him to serve him. And verse number 12 starts off with what? Then the Levites did what? Rose up. So you have to desire order. You have to want order. If you are in the church and not receiving the answer to your needs, it is usually not because you don't know the answer. It is mostly because you don't have the spiritual order in your life to make the answer you know come into your life. It is not more information we need. It's mostly order. They desired order. You want order. It's more than a position. It's more than a title. It's more than recognition. They wanted order so bad that as soon as they got the word, they who heard him like a father rose up like sons and went about to create the order. Look at verse number 15. Watch this. Watch this. Verse number 15, what happened? They heard it, my sons, in verse number 11, right? Do not be negligent. Verse 12, they rose up. And what did the sons of the house do in verse number 15? Did Hezekiah have to gather everybody? No, the sons did what? They gathered their brethren. They sanctified themselves. They went according to the word of the king and the words of the Lord to do what? Cleanse the house of the Lord, right? Look at verse number 34. When they were doing that, the priests were too few and that they could not skin all the burnt offerings. Therefore, what happened? Their brethren who? The Levites, who considered themselves sons of the house. They wanted order so bad, hear me, that they joined in to help where help was needed in order to bring order in the house. And even though the priests were not right, they were ready to step in until the priests could get themselves right because they desired order over above title and position. Number one, you have to want order. You have to want order. Number two, you have to be willing to suffer for Christ's sake. Here's where the suffering comes in, and I'm almost done. Are you willing to deny yourself in order for all of us to receive a blessing? Are you willing to make a personal sacrifice and give up something in your life so that the power of God can be seen in the life of your neighbor? Are you willing to let go of what is dragging you down in order for God to use you to pull your neighbor up? Can you deny yourself in order for the rest of us to get blessed? Do you see that? The Levites hearing themselves, are seeing themselves as sons of the house. Hezekiah said, let's go. We rise up. We get the brethren together. Some of the brethren don't have their act together. We step in and help them until they get it together because we're concentrating on order. We deny ourselves in order for everybody to get blessed. Consecration is hard work. When you're cleaning yourself up, it's hard work. What do I need to be cleaned up from? I need to be cleaned up from being tempted to never forgive. Let it go. I need to be cleaned up from being tempted to get back and retaliate. Let it go. What in your life needs to change? All that needs to be cleaned up needs to be cleaned up so we can all get blessed. What does temptation look like in your life? If you're not sensitive, listen. I got to find a way to explain this that you'll get it. If you're not sensitive to what you need to change in your life, hear me, and I'm not condemning the person, I'm just telling you how this works. You ready? If you're not sensitive to what triggers you, what turns you on in the wrong way, what leads you down the wrong path, if you don't know how you end up where you end up, you said, I was just driving and I happened to be there. No, you were driving the car. You made the phone call. You pulled out the credit card. Your eyes were working, your mind. So if you're not aware of what's driving you, you could end up at a restroom at some airport somewhere. Toe tapping. Are you listening to me? A married senator saying, I'm not condemning the guy. I'm saying somebody didn't know what was motivating them to peep. You got to be aware. You got to be aware. Can you deny yourself of stuff you know needs to be cleaned up? Can you clean up your life? Pastor, nothing about me needs to be cleaned up. Really? Wow. Are you serious? Do you mean that the only way you're going to know you're in trouble is when you're on the news? Wait a minute. And you know, I'm not condemning the man. I feel for him and his family. Because let's say he's totally innocent and the policeman was just had it out for him. All right? Let's say that. But let's say he's not totally innocent and he claims to be guilty. Something on the inside said, let's get it done or get it out of the way. But whatever, now there's a picture in front of you that you cannot deny. Is that what you need? I mean, do you need it to be that raggedy? And you know God still loves him. You know that, don't you? He loves toe tappers and bathroom peepers, amen. He loves them. Yes, he does. And he will do what he can to help them. But wouldn't you want to know before it's on the news? That's my argument. Can you be honest about your dirty thoughts, about your dirty actions? Are you not yet prepared to clean up your own house and to clean up your life so the glory of God will be free in this house? God prepared the people. But that's the one thing we do not see publicly in the chapter. We don't see it. It comes as a surprise to me. It's evident because of the response of the people. They responded. But how did you know that God was involved? We know God prepared the people because they were all in order in 16 days. You can't get it in order in 16 days unless God was working. Let me give you an example. Let's say Spirit of Life was putting together a championship basketball team. For example, let's just say that. And let's just say that the game is going to take place 16 days from now. And we show up on the court, man, the gut is gone. I mean, we ripped up, we're ready. Amen. Amen. Now, we know Jamila is ready. We know Deshelle is ready. Amen. We know one or two of the others are ready. Kwame and little Dave is ready. But for the rest of us, amen, for me and Bill and Pete to be out there in 16 days, you know, amen, that we would have had to be working long before the 16 days started in order for us to be ready in 16 days. So most of the preparation happens in private. That we would be running, amen, and laying off of the ice cream and cake. Amen, amen, huh? We would be backing away from the plate and doing our push-ups and sit-ups and everything we can do. In fact, if it happened in the natural, we would need 9 months to be ready. I mean, to be in shape where we can jump and leap and do all kind of things and not hurt ourselves, be up in the air, oh, Lord, have mercy, amen. Got to come down, amen. We know God was involved because in 16 days, everything was clean. Which meant that before the 16 days started, somebody was cleaning up and getting ready, and they're just waiting for a word from the Lord. Take your paper. Are you willing to deny yourself? Take your paper. You should have a yellow sheet of paper. If you don't, make sure everybody has one. A yellow sheet of paper. I want you to take your paper. If you need some extras here, I want you to fold it in four sections. You know how to do it? Fold it in half and then fold it in half again. Fold it in half like that. And then you fold it in half again. You following? You have it? Fold it in half and then fold it in half again. You should have four sections on your paper. What happens when you're willing to deny yourself, when you're willing to suffer, when you desire order? You know, one of the most important things you can have in your life is order. A lot of our blessings are missed because we are out of order. You got your paper? Amen. You got it folded up. Number one, what is the first thing? I want you to put it in the first box. What will happen in your life when you're willing to deny yourself, when you're willing to suffer, when you're willing? Oh, God. Here's what I mean by willing to suffer. Anytime the clothes on your body cost more than what you're spending on your child's education, something's wrong. Pastor, public school is free. What about after school programs? Are you listening to me? That you're literally giving up some of yours in order for them to get ahead. I use my mother again as an example. I was so proud when we went. I was in the military, Pete, and I was going to get a car loan, and I had to use mom as a cosigner. You know, 18, running the street. You know, they have nothing going on but a whole, thank God I didn't get caught for everything. Amen. Amen. I thank God, Jesus. Anyway, but I was there trying to get a car without stealing one. You understand? Because I had some friends that would change plates and do all that kind of stuff. Amen. And we would, you know, driving down. But anyway, so let me, Lord, right here at this address. Amen. Flashbacks are amazing. Amen. So anyway. I was trying to get this car and had to use mom as a cosigner. The guy came back after running mom's credit. He says, your mom on welfare? And no, she wasn't. He said she should be, amen. Because, I mean, we didn't have anything going on, right? But mom, listen, had positioned her life to make sure we were okay. She would take jobs that were centered around our education. I understand now, amen. Because there are things that you can do and will move you ahead in life, but will destroy your children. But are you willing to suffer so they would get blessed? Are you listening? Mama would have been a nationally known singer. Was singing for the Baptist conventions, you know, the soloists. You think Midi and Connie could sing? You should have heard Mama when she was younger. Amen. Mama could sing, doing all that kind of stuff and everything. Mama drew back to take care of Mama's babies. Can you imagine if Mama was out there, name known, and her crazy son, you know, this one? I need a lot of attention. Are you listening to me? I needed a whole lot of attention every day. Amen. If Mama was not there every day, it ain't no telling where I would be today. So some of the stuff Mama did not achieve, she gave it to me in order for me to survive. Are you listening to me? Are you willing to suffer in order for others to get blessed? It boils down to that. The thing that we are experiencing today in our society is that we're grinding the juice out of our children. And we're drinking it for our future, and they have none. Number one, if you're willing to suffer and deny yourself, number one, put it in your first box, you will clean up your life. Number one, you will clean up your life, or whatever you want to say. I will clean up my life, amen? The first thing that will happen, if you're willing to suffer, you're willing to get order, I will clean up my life. The first person I will work on is me. Do you have that? Look at your neighbor. I'm going to work on me before I work on you. Amen. Will you tell your neighbor that? Amen. And you remember I talked about you need to know what messes you up. How do you end up where you end up? What is the cycle? What are the triggers? I told you one of the things I learned is that whenever I get depressed, I've learned that my depression is me making an excuse to turn my back on God. So now when I see depression coming, I'm like, oh, that's what that is. There's something that God wants from me that I don't want to give him, but if I get depressed enough, then I can't give it to him. It may work differently in your life. You need to know what it does for you. Number two, your friends and your family are motivated to get clean. Number two, the second box. Number one, you get cleaned up personally. When you get cleaned up personally, your friends and family are motivated to get cleansed. Number three, let me see if you can catch this. Number three, you get cleaned up, yes. Can I repeat number three or number two? Just messing with Melanie, my friend. Okay, number two, your friends and family are motivated to get cleansed or to clean up their life. Your friends and family are motivated to clean up their life. You get cleaned up personally, your friends and family are motivated to clean up their life. You saw that in verse number whatever it was, right? Where they rose up and they went and gathered the brethren, right? And said, come on, we're going to do this. We're going to rise up and get it done, right? Number three. Watch this. When you do those things, you will hear something new out of my mouth. Now, that's not what you're supposed to write, but anyway. Number three, your set leadership will call the ministry to the next level. Your leadership will call the ministry to the next level. Let me give you the scripture. Hezekiah in verse number 31, yeah, he said, now that you have consecrated yourselves to the Lord, and then he called them to the next level of ministry. Do you have that? So when you get, number three, your set leadership or your leadership will call the ministry to the next level. You clean up your life, you inspire friends and family, their lives get clean. Number three, your set leadership. They call the ministry to the next level. You go up. Number four, you inspire others to believe God again. They see this thing is real because first it is real for you. You inspire others to believe God again. You remember? There were some priests who did not sanctify themselves. Yeah, we don't, man. We know the people of God are not, you know, they're joking. They're actors. They're always shouting about stuff they don't even believe themselves. And they really get off. If you say something like twisty, kind of funny, man, they're really into it. Don't change your life. But, oh, that was so cute what you said, you know? So why should the priest change and get ready? Because the people are not changing. You inspire others to believe God again because they see this thing is really good for you. Okay, you have it? You have all four on your paper? Which one don't you have? Number four? Okay. Number four, you inspire others to believe God again. You inspire others to believe God again. They see this thing is real because it is real for you and it's real for your family. You inspire others to believe God again. You have the four? Number three is verse number 31. You would look at, he told them to do some things in verse 24 down to verse 29, and they worship. 30, he told them to do some things. In 31, he said, now that you have done this, now we're going to bring these offerings into the house of the Lord. Now that they've gotten themselves together. Okay? So does everyone have four? Okay? Now, here's what I want you to do. I want you to look at your paper, and I want you to tear off one of the four on your sheet of paper. You choose, you decide which one of the four you want to tear off, but you pick out one of the four from your sheet of paper, and listen, I want you to give it to someone in this audience, one of the four, who is age 21 or less, and then I want you to return to your seat. You tear off one of your four. You go and give it to somebody in this audience who is 21 years age or less. All right? Amen. And if they look close, you can ask them if you'd like. All right. And then I want you to return to your seats. Amen. And if you're 21 years or less, you can receive more than one. You can receive more than one, but you have to give it to somebody 21 years of age or less. If you're under 21, I want you to keep all of your four plus what you receive. Everyone over 21, you're tearing off one that you have. Everyone over 21, you're tearing off one that you have, and you're giving it to someone under 21. If you're under 21, you're keeping all four plus the ones that you have. You have it? Has everyone done it? If you're under 21, you should have your four plus. If you're over 21, has everyone done that? You have it? You return to your seats? Has everyone made the exchange? You have it? Has everyone made the exchange? Those of you who are over 21, and I'm just using you as a category, it may not fit your age properly, but what God has given you was given to you to give to somebody else. This is what father and son order is about. His sons got the process started, and as a result of his son's dedication, all the people were blessed. As you prepare yourself and inspire others around you, the work of God will happen suddenly. We suffer to give them more. Now look at what they have. They now have the double portion. Are you listening to me? So what is required to set the house of God in order? Somebody must give the order. Hezekiah gave the order. As a set leader of the house, we're given the order. You must sanctify yourself. The house must be cleansed. The people must be prepared. And then here are the questions that you need to deal with. What does God want me to do now? This week, God, this week, today, this month, this year. How can I prepare myself so God can use me to put his house in order? And then what has God given me that I am responsible to give to the next generation? Would you stand with me? Let's prepare to pray.
Thank you so much for taking the time to listen to the messages of the spoken word, studying to show yourself approved unto God, workmen who need not be ashamed. I trust God is really growing you into the mature Christian leader that he desires you to be. And I just feel it a privilege to be a part of that ministry in your life. I want to share with you an exciting opportunity and project that we're involved in. We are currently renovating our building in the city of Inglewood, California. It will be our ministry headquarters and an evangelistic center, youth training and motivational school. Souls will be won from that place, marriages saved and lives changed. It will be a center for God. The power of the Holy Ghost will be operational, and a lot of evangelistic activity will take place. We will have the kind of headquarters that will glorify our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I want to speak to you personally and ask you to consider at this time to make a gift, a donation monthly or a one-time gift toward the renovation of this particular property and also to assist the ministry in its outreach. Your gifts will help us in a powerful way to be the kind of witness God has called us to be. And I'm sure you have understood from sharing with us and listening to the CDs and other downloads or however you have heard about our ministry, I'm sure you have benefited from that, and we want to make that available in the widest way possible. You can go to our website at www.solfellowship.com. That is www.solfellowship.com. There, you can go to click and pledge and make your donation and contributions right there, or you can get information with our mailing address and send it through the postage. I want to thank you so much. My heart is just overjoyed of sharing this time with you, and I look forward to hearing you. God bless. Be strong in the Lord. Take care.